greetings in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I have rarely been as moved in preparing for a message as I have with this message. But now as I begin to share it, I feel a lot of opposition and discouragement. So if we could just stand, and maybe Brother Sean, would you come, and maybe if you could lift me up in prayer here, that'd be a blessing as we seek to hear from God. Let's bow for prayer.
Father God, Lord, we just pray. We pray to be very real here. Lord, pray you call him Brother Isaac. Give him, Lord, your spirit. And Lord, allow him to be able to preach the word and of truth and love. Lord, just pray you help us to be faithful hearers and apply what truth we hear. And be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Lord, we pray that the devil be defeated here today, and you be glorified. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. I ask that you bear with my voice here as I have that cold that's been going around. Try not to be distracted by that. Now, I told some of you young people that I would preach a part two of my message to the youth at Blessed Hope, but it's okay with you. We'll postpone that. As I thought to prepare my heart for today, I felt the Lord leading me in a different direction. So we'll just wait on that for some other time. Some of what I had planned to share in that message was covered very well in Bible Boot Camp as well. And the rest will wait. So I have a message here. And I'm sorry, Brother Allen, this feels irreverent to raise these beautiful words. And they fit in some ways with what I'm going to share. But I have a message that is very special to me. I pray that God will fasten it on our hearts because I believe it's a need we have. And I have titled it very simply in the words of Jesus, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that's why I believe Satan is opposing this message this morning. It comes out of a lot of struggles in my own heart. But I believe it's the truth. And so I'm excited to press forward and share it. In spite of what I may be feeling, I believe that the goodness of God is under attack these days. I believe it's under attack. I believe Satan is on a smear campaign. Satan is trying to get us to doubt our God. And in that way, he renders us powerless, weak, miserable, and wimpy.
Right.
And that way also he makes us very vulnerable to defeat by casting doubts upon the very nature and goodness of God.
Right.
If Satan can get you to believe that God is not good, he's well on the way to ruining your spiritual life. Because who will want to be close to someone who's not good? Who will want to draw nigh to a God who's not good? The goodness of God. Have faith in God. I'm going to read some scriptures, and you're welcome to turn there, but I would almost rather if you just close your eyes and meditate on these words. The first thing I need to do this morning is talk a little bit about God, about who we're supposed to believe in. Who is God? And I don't know how to do that. How do you talk about God? How do you ever convey to our minds, to our hearts, something about God that is accurate? When he is so big, he is so beyond description, he is so beyond all thought. How can I do that? But I'll do it with the scriptures. So if you just want to meditate, I'll read first out of Exodus chapter 34. Where God introduces himself here in this beautiful passage. Exodus chapter 34. have faith in God. And who is this God? And why should we have faith in Him? And how can we have faith in Him if we don't believe He's good? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Have faith in God, this God, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is not what Satan is telling you about God. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Listen, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Have faith in God. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. Why? His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. All these jubilant psalms came from a heart that understood, yes, first, that God is good. Amen. David praised like few did. He worshiped like few did. Why? Because in his heart, amen, he had a confidence that his God was a good God. Have faith in God. Satan is the author of doubt. Satan has always undermined God's goodness.
Right.
It was his first tactic in the garden. It will be his last tactic.
Right.
Has God said? It's all because God knows that if you eat of this fruit, you'll get wise. God is keeping something from you. Satan has always operated that way. He is the father of lies. He has no legitimate accusations to make against God, but he makes many illegitimate ones. Have faith in God. Let's turn for our text to Mark chapter 11, if you would turn with me. Mark chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Have faith in God. Now I want us to notice the mountain in verse 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. I want you all to tell me some true things about mountains. Just list off some facts about mountains. What are they like? Describe a mountain. Amen. They're big.
They're hard to move.
Mountains are big. Hard to move. What else?
Difficult to climb.
What else did you say there? Solid stone. They're real. Hard to build roads. Yes. All right, amen. I think we'll call that good. Stand the test of time. I'm going to put down here, they've been there for a long time. They've been there for a long time. In fact, as long as you can remember. All right? Is this starting to make sense? Mountains are big. They're hard to move. They're difficult to climb. They're stone. They're real. They've been there as long as you remember. Mountains. Have faith in God. And I'll read the scripture again. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And by this time you know that I'm wanting you to be thinking about more than mountains right now. I'm wanting you to be thinking about something else as you look at this list. I'm wanting you to be thinking about your life. You know that. You understand that. We're not just talking about Mount Everest, Pike's Peak, Chimney Top. We're talking about something in your life. Have faith in God. One more that I was going to put on the list is that mountains are intimidating. They're kind of intimidating when you see them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you trust God? Have you learned to trust Him? Have faith in God. Tozer said the whole outlook of mankind might be changed if we could all believe that we dwell under a friendly sky. And that the God of heaven, though exalted in power, is eager to be friends with us. God is good. We are invited to trust Him. We are commanded to believe in Him. Unbelief is a sin. Doubts, they're not from God. They're from the devil. I just want you to know that the doubts that come to your mind, questioning God, are not from God. They could not be. God would never cast doubt upon Himself. Why would He? He wouldn't. There's an interesting illustration of doubt in the Scriptures. I don't think I'll turn there, but we all know the story of how Elijah was taken up by a fire or by a whirlwind into heaven, right? You know that story? He was taken up. The Lord took him to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it. Someone else saw it. It was 50 young men, the sons of the prophets. They saw, they were standing afar off, and they saw this happen. God. But after they got back to Elisha got back to them, they said, Elisha, we have some strong men here with us. And just in case, God would have thrown Elijah down somewhere in that mountain, in that wilderness, is it all right if we send these strong men to go and search the woods just in case? That's doubt. That's doubt. That's what it is. God had taken Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind. That is nothing but doubt. What kind of God would take a man partway up to heaven, separate him with a chariot of fire, and then drop him on a mountain? That is not God.
Right.
That is the nature of doubt. Doubt sees, doubt knows, but it comes in anyway. Well, Elijah, we know Elijah. I mean, he probably would, but just in case. Elijah said, no, don't go. But they kept begging and begging. Finally, he said, okay, go. And they searched for 3 days. Did they find anything? No, of course not. Elijah was in heaven. They searched for 3 days and they came back. Elisha told them, didn't I tell you, don't go? That was an act of unbelief. It was doubt. Another familiar story is the 12 spies that went to the land of Canaan. 12 men. 12 men, they all saw the same giants. They all saw the same cities. They all saw the same scenery. They felt the same fear, perhaps. They walked the same trails. They stood on the same mountaintops and peered down. Two of those men had faith, and 10 did not. Two of those men believed God, and 10 did not. Have faith in God. Satan is behind all these doubts. Satan is endeavoring, is trying his best to get the saints to mistrust their Father. It's Satan. That's who it is. I'm exposing him. It's him. He is the father of lies. He is the author of doubt. He is the underminer of all that is good. And he's casting doubt on the nature of God who is good. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Have faith in God. Now, faith is only as powerful as its object. Amen? Faith in itself is of no power. If I believe in this portfolio or this folder, my faith won't do me any good, will it? What can this folder do for me? Keep my papers organized. So that's it. If I believe that this folder will provide for me, I'm foolish. My faith is vain. Right. Faith in itself is of no merit or value. You can believe in anything. You can believe in Buddha. You can believe in a star. You can believe in the sun. You can believe in a black folder. Well, do you no good? But our faith is powerful because of who we believe in. Have faith in God.
Amen.
God is big. God is strong. God is good. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's why our faith is powerful. This is why, because of God, the great I Am, Jehovah, this is why it's not just wishful thinking for you to think, young people, that you could leave this boot camp and you could actually keep walking faithfully. This time could be different. I don't just need to get on a spiritual high and then I'll fall back down. No. Because God. Have faith in God. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How do you think God feels when we mistrust Him? Have you ever been mistrusted? I was trying to think about that a little bit. I was thinking about my wife. What if she would mistrust me? That would be miserable. I would feel a lot of things. So let's say we're going to bed and we have a wood stove in our house. Before we go to bed, it needs to be gotten ready for the night. It needs to be stoked up, and then the drafts need to be closed so that it burns slowly and safely while we sleep. So my wife asked me, "Dear, did you take care of the stove?" I say, "Yes, I took care of the stove." And I'm about to go to sleep. "Dear, did you take care of the stove?" "Yes, dear, I took care of the stove. Just before we came in here, I took care of everything." "Okay. All right. I'm almost asleep." "Dear, are you sure?" "Yes, I did. Just before I came in here." "Well, what did you do?" "Well, I stoked the fire. I added a big, big chunk of oak and I closed the drafts and everything was okay, dear, just before I came to bed." "Okay." So I start snoring away and then I wake up. "Where's my wife?" I go out to the living room and there she is checking on the stove. Mistrust. Mistrust. She doesn't do that. She trusts me. And I'm a failing human. I might forget. I could have missed something. But she trusts me. Why are we so mistrusting of God? It is time we rise up. It is time we have faith in God. This is a huge problem. This is why we don't have power. This is why we're afraid. This is why we live in defeat. This is why there's needs in our families and church and personal lives that never get met. Have faith in God. We must trust the Lord Jesus if we are to follow Him. The disciples who left everything and followed Him trusted Him. Otherwise, they would have stayed with their nets. They decided that this man is trustworthy, worthy. I will follow Him. He's going to take me where I need to go. This man will lead us to a good end. This man is safe to follow. They trusted Him. Or they would have just stayed with their nets. Have faith in God. If the sons of the prophets decide to go and look for Elijah's body, don't go with them. It's time we stop these doubtful actions. The Word of God is full of promises for us, for the believer. But many of us have never just believed them. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I think I'll start reading here in verse 16. I'll read a little longer passage here. Just please follow with me in your Bibles. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. This is not the passage I wanted. It's a good passage, but let me see here. I believe it is Romans 4 that I meant to read. Yes, Romans chapter 4. Sorry about that, but those are good verses also. But we'll go over here to Romans chapter 4, and we'll start reading verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who Abraham against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham's story was written for our benefit. Abraham was one that when God said something, he believed it. Not because he felt it, not because it made any sense to him, but because he believed in God. And that is what God is calling us to. And it says here, if we're that way, it will also be imputed unto us for righteousness. And we must get to the place where we read these promises from God. And in our hearts we say, yes, that is true. I believe that. I don't feel it. I don't see it. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I believe God. How do you think Abraham was feeling when God called him, hey, leave your familiar land here. Go forth. He went, not knowing whither he went, the Bible says. He may not have felt especially motivated. He may not have felt especially inspired. But he believed God. Abraham was not reckless. He was not going off of a sudden whim when he packed his bags. He believed God. have faith in God. Happy the man whose hopes rely on Israel's God. He made the sky and earth and sea with all their train. He helps the stranger in distress, the widow and the fatherless, and none shall find his promise vain. Happy, happy the man whose hopes are on God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. He that believeth on Him shall never be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, if you make it your life's journey, you decide against all odds, against what I'm feeling, against common sense, against what I see around me, I will believe God. You will never be disappointed in that faith to the end. Faith is not feelings. Faith is a decision. It's a choice. I want to say something about feelings as we have just come through boot camp and maybe our feelings were on a mountain high. Mine kind of were. It was beautiful. Not all week, but that's good. We get in a meeting. We get with the brothers and sisters. The Lord is working. Our feelings are stirred. Amen. That is good. And then this week you've gone back to normal life, and maybe it felt like it dipped down a little bit. You know, you had the cold and things weren't all going well. Your feelings dipped down a little, and then they might go back up today, and then they go back down a little, and they go like this, and maybe there'll be a revival meeting or something. That's your feelings. That's normal to some extent. You need to expect that. But here, and maybe you're afraid of this, that one day then your feelings will go like this. But I want to tell you that regardless of what these do, your feelings, there is something that doesn't need to fluctuate. And that is your faith. That is your commitment to God. In all this, we're just going to go like this. We keep pressing on through the ups, through the downs. That's your faith. And that's not going to dip up and down. Because faith is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's your commitment to God. It's what you decide to do. Have faith in God. Don't let Satan rob you of your faith. In God. God is good. You know, mountains are big. Goliath was big too. Goliath was huge. Was he not? And David was little. And David had 5 stones and a sling. But there was someone else in that battle. And it was God. And God is big. And Goliath was little. Brothers and sisters, Goliath was peanuts. Goliath had nothing, nothing left, not a shred of defense, because David said, you come with a sword and spear, I come in the name of God. Hallelujah. It was all over for Goliath. Have faith in God. God is big. Goliath looks big to you, but he's little. He's little. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian was walking along the narrow way and he came here to this place and there were 2 lions chained beside the trail? Remember that? Those lions were ferocious. And they were right there, ready to devour him. Excuse me. Christian was afraid. But you know what he didn't see? They were chained. The lions were chained. But he didn't see it. Brothers and sisters, the lions are chained. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when you're tempted to sin. Now, I want to say this to you who recently got converted. Excuse me. You might be surprised at how soon Satan will be back with those old temptations again. You say, I thought I was converted. What's going on here? Here's this desire to do these wrong things. Dirty. I'm born again. Yeah. Satan doesn't like that you are. he's back to tempt you. And I assure you that that temptation is not sin. Now, Satan, he'll try to get you to feel like it is. You're a Christian and you're being tempted with that? No, you have not yet sinned. You're being tested. You're being tempted. Have faith in God. Now, if you yield to the temptation, yes, you have sinned. And you need to run back to your Heavenly Father and ask Him to forgive you. Temptation is not sin, but have faith in God. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I just want to tell you this morning, and forgive me because it's too simple, but you don't have to sin. You don't owe the flesh anything anymore. Before you were converted, yes, you were under that power. You were the servant of sin, but now you're the servant of God. You owe the flesh nothing. You owe Jesus everything. So just as before you were converted, you just gave in to those evil desires, now you're going to give in to God's desires. You owe the flesh nothing anymore. You're alive to God. Have faith in God. His Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You can overcome. Have faith in God. Too many times we're like the slaves. Lincoln signed that Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863. He did. But many slaves continued living life as before. They did not know. They did not know. And somebody had the privilege of writing to those plantations, "Hey, you're free!" And that's what I'm telling you this morning. You're free. The papers were signed. You have no debt to sin. You're free. Start walking in freedom. Leave your old master. You're free. Now, this may seem a little off topic, but I do want to add this, though, about temptation. Sometimes the battle is very long, very bitter. And just because you have faith in God does not mean that your temptations will vanish. There are times when God takes away instantly a desire for sin. Other times we must battle. There's a true account of a man who had pledged to never drink again, but he foolishly decided to invite a few friends for one more drink, and then we'll take the pledge together. So he went for some of the choicest liquors and invited his friends, but no one came. He was there alone in the house in the night. It was dark. It was 9 o'clock. And he says, "There rushed into my soul visions of my childhood, and the voice of my mother sounded out, 'Keep your soul pure and clean, my son.'" He opened the Bible and read, "No drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God." He started pacing the floor of the room. The temptation was gripping him. It was so strong. He felt like the enemy was just right there with him. And somehow God impressed it on his mind, "Let that bottle remain untouched. This is a decisive hour for you." And I want you to know in these moments, these are decisive hours. These are critical moments. Again, he paced the room, and with greater force, appetite begged for satisfaction. The hour just dragged wearily along, and the clock struck 11. And then he said, "I felt that the next hour must be the point on which my destiny for eternity was poised. I was impressed by the thought that if I could resist the tempter till midnight in some way, I knew not how, God would bring to me a way of escape. But I long to break open the bottle, the contents of which were more attractive than anything on earth." That may be you and your temptation, your struggles. Sometimes God may take it away instantly. Other times, you'll have this battle. The minutes dragged along, oh so slowly, till 11:30, and the voice cried, "Only hold on till 12, and you are safe." 15 minutes passed, and then came the sorest, bitterest conflict of soul that man ever experienced. I had been in the midst of great physical peril before, but never had I been in such deadly danger as now, for it was a conflict with heaven on one side and hell on the other. Could I hold out? He did. He made it to midnight, and he never drank again. This is your decisive hour. You must be faithful. You must cry out to God. You must have faith in God. And then you must hold on till midnight. Don't give in. You can do it because of God. So I just wanted to say that about temptation to sin. But I know that for all of us, but especially the new believers, that will be a big thing for you. All right. Have faith in God in times of change. Now, this is a big one. Change can be difficult, maybe especially for young people, children. Change is difficult. I remember when we were getting ready to go to Columbia, and we were getting ready to move out of our house so the Nickens could move in, and we were packing up all our furniture. And I remember Ethan's crying, because here goes all the furniture, and my world is turning upside down. It was a cold, rainy day. It kind of struck me. But you know what? He still had a daddy and a mama. And that evening, we could just kind of hug him and comfort him and talk about things, and he was fine. Have faith in God in time of change. Change has come. Life is full of change. We must embrace them. But we remember that we hold the hand of God who said, I'm the Lord, I change not. And you can always remember that whatever changes in life, the things that didn't change are more than the things that changed. Yesterday, it was this way. Today, it's this way. But you know what? I am still God's child. I'm still holding the hand of the same God as I was holding yesterday. My sins are still forgiven. I'm still accepted in the Beloved. Jesus is still building me a mansion. The things that didn't change are more than the things that change. Have faith in God. In this way we walk through life. Changes come. Things happen. Chance and change are busy ever. Worlds decay. Ages move. But His mercy waneth never. God is light, and God is love. This is how we walk through change. Paul learned how to deal with change. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. One day he was preaching to thousands. The next day he was being mobbed by thousands. One day he was free. The next day he was being beaten. One day he was this. The next day he was in the deep. Paul's life was constantly changing. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul had faith in God. Have faith in God. You have someone to depend on. It's a big thing to a child. They can handle most any change so long as daddy and mama and food and some of those things, maybe my teddy bear. If those things don't change, I'm all right. We have a Father. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Psalm says that one who trusts in the Lord, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Did you know they made the vaccine mandatory for different... Okay, yeah, I see. Did you hear about ISIS? Yeah, okay, ISIS, yeah. Did you know they're talking about maybe they're going to... Yeah, okay. I have a Father. I don't know what's going to come down the pipe, but I believe God. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? This cannot be taken away from us. We have a Father. Have faith in God. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever He may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My Shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh. His sight is never dim. He knows the way He taketh, and I will walk with Him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, the path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and He will walk with me. Have faith in God. If you knew that there was someone all-powerful, goodness is His very nature, He knows everything, He loves you more than you know, He wants you to spend eternity in heaven with Him, if you knew that someone like that was in control of the circumstances that now surround your life, that will surround your life tomorrow, that will surround your life to the very end, if you knew that He was the one, how might it change the way you live? Lord, help us. Have faith in God. We must have faith in God in order to surrender and be obedient to the Lord. You see, we will never surrender to someone we don't trust. Now, from time to time, I have a cake in my neck. And my wife has a way that she grabs my head and jerks around on it, and the kinks straighten out, and my headaches go away. But from time to time, I'm tense when she's doing it. She's like, you got to relax. She cannot straighten out my neck while I'm tense. It doesn't work. She goes, boom, and it doesn't go. So I just focus on relaxing and trusting my wife. It's a little vulnerable to have someone have a hold of your head. But you know what? I trust my wife. So I surrender my neck and my head to my wife. But if you don't trust Him, if you don't trust the Lord, how will you surrender? You know He's good. We're afraid to surrender many times because we're not sure what He'll do with us. But if we knew, if we had a vision, if we were convinced that He is as good as His Word says He is, it would be easy to surrender. Because we would know that His hands are the safest place to place our head, our neck. We would know that. Surrender takes trust, but many times you won't have the feelings. We were able to visit and pray with a young lady who had come to Bible boot camp. We were there in the prayer room, and God was asking her to surrender something very precious to her. But she said, I feel dead. I have no feelings. I know what I need to do, but I feel so dead. How it often is. It was a very defining moment, I believe, in her Christian life. And we wrestled and prayed, and it was Gethsemane in a small way, but she chose to surrender with no feelings, no inspiration, no emotion, but she prayed, she chose, I will do this. I believe God. This week she let us know that she was living in peace and joy. She was encouraged. Surrender. If you don't feel like it, surrender. You have faith in God. God takes care of the feelings. That's up to Him. It may not always come the next week. I felt like I waited for a few years. That's okay. We leave that up to God. But one thing we know, He is our God. And we're going to obey. We're going to surrender. This is the path of the saints of old, all of them. Noah probably didn't feel especially on an emotional high as he prepared that ark. He just knew God had said to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't know where the water's going to come from. I'm not. Yeah, you've got good questions. You skeptics, those are fair questions. I don't know. But I know one thing. God said it. I'm doing it. That was Noah. Yeah, scientifically, how, I don't know. I mean, go to college, figure it out. I know God. This must be our life. We believe God. Abraham offering Isaac. I suppose he didn't feel like it. I suppose all his feelings and emotions were saying something else. But he believed God. And he did it. He believed God. And then we know the story. And then we know how God just, Abraham, don't do it. Now I know you love me. It takes faith and trust to surrender to God. How about having faith in God for protection? A lot of other things people have faith in for protection, but not God. Concealed carry. Lots of guns. Brother Patrick is back there, so you correct me afterward if this story is not correct, but as I understood it, Brother Patrick, when he moved out to the country, there were people that told him, you need to have a weapon. This is dangerous. You need to have a gun for your family. Is that right, brother? You need this. And so he did. He was on a journey, Brother Patrick was. But Patrick was afraid, weren't you, Patrick, in the night, fear. And then one day, I don't know how it all happened, but one day he got rid of that handgun. And wasn't it just a few nights later, brother, there was robberies in that community, armed robberies. They were shooting through doors. And one of Patrick's neighbors came running up to his house to use the phone, and it was just a mess. But you aren't afraid, as I recall the story. There was peace. Have faith in God. You see, we're most of the time afraid because we're not trusting God. We're trusting in other things. Thus saith the Lord, curse be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. When the children of Israel trusted in God, He took care of them every time. They won every battle when they were trusting in God. But you know how it was when they started going down to Egypt for a little assistance, or asking this king or that king to help them in some political way? It was a miserable failure every time. Some trusted chariots, some in horses, some in guns. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I recently heard that if you want to be financially secure in today's American world, you need to have $4 million in savings. That's a lot of money. But I tell you what, $4 million can be gone in a heartbeat. That is no security. We were down there in Colombia feeding meals to people that had been wealthy in Venezuela. Lost it all. $4 million? Peanuts. Depending what happens. Have faith in God. Security? You want security? Here's one I don't want to mention because I feel vulnerable. But how about our businesses? It can be easy to worry. I mean, these are rough times, with lawsuits on every hand. And we're followers of Jesus, so we're kind of at a disadvantage, right? Bear with me a moment, my folly, but we're kind of disadvantaged because we have to follow Jesus' set of rules, like don't resist evil, can't go to court. And yeah, so wow, this is rough being a businessman. Ever feel that way? Have faith in God. Who can take better care of your business? Jesus Christ or the hammer? You know the hammer, right? He's on every billboard. Who could take better care of you and your family? Jesus or the hammer? Call the hammer when I know Jesus? Lord, help us. Lawsuits, people not paying, and I believe we should be careful and wise as serpents, but have faith in God. We must have the faith that if the Lord allows someone to touch our business, we trust Him. He is able to protect us, but if He allows hardship to come, He'll take care of us. That's something the hammer won't do. If He doesn't win the case, you're left standing with a big debt to Him. This is not meant to speak ill of the hammer. I just knew we all knew who he was. I don't even know him. Darrell Isaacs. But anyway, Jesus. Jesus. Dale Heise's wife must have faith in God because Dale told the story of how someone came and stole their 12 nice dairy cows And this was not just a hobby side thing they did there in Costa Rica. As I understand it, this was probably a big part of their income. They knew who stole them, but that's okay. But those cows, bless God, were faithful and devoted, and one day they came trucking right back down the road to Dale Hodges' pasture, walked right in, and his wife went out and shut the gate. Praise the Lord. But down the road comes this neighbor, whoever had stolen them. He was mad. He was chasing those cows, and he went into the pasture to try to chase them back out so he'd take them back up to his place. Brother Dale was gone, but his wife was home. So she went out and she helped the neighbor chase the cows back out of the pasture. They followed. They knew Dale's wife, so they listened to her. So she chased them back out of the pasture, and he took them back up the mountain. Have faith in God. Do you think God will let Brother Dale and his wife starve? Jesus' teachings seem very difficult to people because they do not have faith in God. That is what it amounts to. Excuse me. When we begin to have this kind of faith, then suddenly returning good for evil, turning the other cheek, all these things begin to make sense to us. Have faith in God in difficulty. You never know when the darkest day of your life might become the brightest day. Have faith in God. When Jesus was there on the cross, those men, and I believe Satan was behind it, they said, "He trusted in God. Let him help him now. Here's a man that trusted in God. Look at him on the cross." But what Satan didn't know, what those men didn't know, is that even in that very moment, God was accomplishing the most beautiful thing that has ever been done. And our salvation. Our salvation. You never know, brothers and sisters, when your darkest day is the most beautiful day in God's economy. Have faith in God. You see, this faith is not that, yep, God won't let anything happen to me. That is not the faith I'm talking about. This is a deeper faith than that. This is a trust in God's wisdom. This is the understanding that just as we read in Job chapter 1, Satan had to ask God for permission before he could touch Job. You can have that confidence. Nothing, no difficulty will be allowed into your life, but God first says, yes, that is okay. I'll give the grace. I'm going to demonstrate my glory, my power to the nations and to Satan and to those around. I'll give grace. Yes, Satan, I will allow you to do that, but no more. That is a promise for every believer. Have faith in God in difficulty. You are safe. Scripture says that those who, Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither can any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." It's talking about God's children. We are in the hand of the Father. And He has a strong hand. And no man, no devil, nothing can pluck us out. Now we know that if we start getting restless in there, we start pushing, saying, "I want out, Lord, I want out." We know that He opens His hand and allows us to walk out. We know that. But so long as you stay in His hand, you are safe. No man, no devil, no evil man can pluck you from your place of safety in the Father's hand. That is a powerful promise. No one can pry open God's fingers. No one. Have faith in God in difficulty. If you would happen to be called to go through more than you think you can bear, and if it would feel like God is forsaken, you have faith in God. It will come out right in the end. Too many times we walk as if we had no Heavenly Father. We walk as if God was not good. I remember a little poem I heard in school. Said the sparrow to the robin, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no Heavenly Father, such as cares for for you and me. No Heavenly Father. Rushing about, trying to protect this, trying to arrange that, trying to take care of this or that, worrying all night. They must not have a Heavenly Father like me and you do, Robin. Paul was one who said, I believe God. He was there on that ship. It was sinking. It was in a desperate situation. The men were all tore up. It was dark. It was a bad time. But one man on that boat believed God. And he came out one day and said, be of good cheer. Let's eat some food. This will be okay. One man in a dark situation can make a huge difference. One man who believes God. Be that person in your family. Be that person in any situation. When everyone else is shaken up and fear is on every side. I believe God. When the French army was retreating from, how do you say the capital of Russia? Is it Moscow? Moscow. They were, as they were retreating, they were going through villages and horrible deeds were being done. They were rioting and just killing people in horrible ways and stealing and doing whatever they wanted to do. So word kept coming to the villages, the army's coming, they fled, they load them into wagons, they get out of there. But there was a cabin with a little boy and a crippled widow mom. And they couldn't leave. They couldn't leave. But she believed God. The little boy said, Mom, you need to go. Just leave me here. He didn't want her to go, but he didn't want to see her suffer. Mommy never goes, said, no, I will stay. God will take care of us. Well, the army went through there, but they missed the house because God had sent a huge snowstorm with tremendous wind, and the little house was almost completely covered. Have faith in God. Have faith in God in death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, brothers and sisters, men, the devil, no one can do anything to us that God does not allow. But the worst thing that anyone can do to you is kill you. And that enemy has been destroyed. What do we have left to fear? Death is swallowed up in victory. They can't take my peace from me. They can hurt me. Things can happen. But I believe God. So they're going to kill me. I believe God. I'm going to go to heaven. We're invincible. Nothing can happen to shake us. We believe God. Why are we so fearful? What can Satan do? He has no power. He is defeated. We believe God. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Not afraid to close my eyes and die. Not afraid to bid this world goodbye. There is no more weapon that can prosper against us. We have faith in God. It's time we place our confidence once again in our God, in our good God. Have faith in Him. These mountains, what are they in your life? They're big. They're hard to move. They've been there for as long as you can remember. You cannot imagine life without the mountains. They're real. Have faith in God. I don't think God is asking you to move Mount Everest. But you have a mountain. You have a mountain. Have faith. But we are not afraid to come. Thou hast forgiven all our sins and given us the victory or sin and hell and death within. What can Satan do? We don't say that proud or arrogantly, but what can man do? We have nothing to fear. We're safe. Only can happen to us what God in His love and mercy will allow. That's all that can happen, and He'll be right there with plenty of grace. Death is swallowed up in victory. Not afraid. Have faith in God. Our faith will be tested. I read a story about a young family who lived in the western prairies of South Dakota on the Cheyenne Indian Reservation. The man's name was Bob Harding, and his wife was Muriel, and there were two little children, Robert and Marjorie. They lived in the middle of nowhere in a little dugout. The house was dug out of a bank, and so the back part of the house was under the bank. The front part was framed up with some timbers. And they loved Jesus. Haymaking season had arrived, and because there was no hay to cut around that immediate area, Bob, the dad, had to go 15 miles east to cut hay so the livestock wouldn't starve during the long, cold winter. He would need to be gone for a month, and he didn't like to leave his dear little family in the middle of nowhere. There was no other way. For some reason, it seemed this time it was a little extra hard to leave the family, but they tried to be cheerful. He kissed his wife and the children and drove away. And as he always did, at the top of the small hill just before the road dropped out of sight, he turned and waved final waves to his family. That night as she was putting the children to bed, little Robert asked his mother, "Mother, will Daddy be afraid all by himself tonight?" "No, dear, he will not." And she told him the verse that says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." They quoted the verse together. "He shall keep his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." When they were done, Robert asked, "Mother, does God ever forget to tell his angels to watch over us?" "No, son, God never forgets." That night, just after midnight, Mary was awakened by little Marjorie. "Mother, I need a drink of water." So she stepped from the bed and her bare foot landed right on top of a coiled rattlesnake. In an instant, she felt the fangs in her heel and the buzzing of the rattles. She lit a lamp and grabbed an axe, but the snake had disappeared. She squeezed and pressed the wound the best she could and bandaged it tightly, but she knew she was fighting a losing battle. It was already swelling and the pain was intense. She was able to quiet the frightened children and get them back to sleep. "Oh, if only Bob were here. Oh, God, send someone. I can't leave my children all alone." And then she remembered the words. "God never forgets. He will give his angels charge over thee." Now, she was not afraid of death. She had given her heart to God as a young girl, and she was not afraid to die if that was God's plan for her. But it was the thought of her little children being alone for those weeks till Bob got back. She knew that in this condition, she would probably only last 3 or 4 days. The first thing she did was write a letter to leave for Bob. She placed her very swollen leg on a chair and began to write as the tears flowed. In the morning, she saw the snake, and in spite of the pain in her leg, she was able to get up and kill it. And then she began the very difficult task of preparing her children for when Mama will fall asleep. All day she worked, in pain, sick and weak. She baked things for the children and placed it where they could reach it after she was gone. If only she could see Bob again. God never forgets. That afternoon, two Indian ponies jogged slowly along the bare prairie road, and the old buggy behind them was a white man, and beside him his wife, an Indian squaw. "We must go see the white squaw today," the Indian woman told her husband. He said, "No, we don't have time today." "We must stop today," she said. And she urged him. And finally he turned the ponies and they went toward down the road that led to the Harding homestead. They came into the house. They saw the situation. The Indian squaw knew what to do. There was a certain plant that grew in the prairie that she went out. She gathered handfuls of that plant. She put it in her mouth and chewed it. The acid from the plant burned off the insides of her mouth, but she kept going. She kept applying that plant to the wound. And as soon as they could, they loaded her into a buggy and took her to the Cheyenne Indian Reservation Agency where the government doctor lived. He examined her and said that the crisis was past thanks to the Indian woman's treatment. For some reason he could not explain, Bob felt impressed to leave his work and go home that weekend. He got home and found a letter telling him where to find his wife, and he rushed there immediately. It was a very pale but happy Muriel who smiled about him as he bent over and kissed her. "Thank God you're safe and I still have you with me," he said. And as she turned over on her pillow and closed her eyes, she said, "God never forgets. This God is our God. What's wrong with us? Can we trust? Can we have faith in God?" Let's pray. Father, thank you. We are so weak in faith. God, help us. You are our God. And I pray that this morning, Satan would not be allowed to cast out. Father, help us to resist him. Help us to believe God. Help us to trust you so that we can surrender to you, so that the mountains in our lives can move. Help us, Lord. We trust you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.